Praise the Lord. Happy Father's Day to all the dads.
Yay! Yay.
Good morning. It's awesome to see you. It's nice to see the sun, isn't it, for a change?
Yeah.
My goodness me, these last couple of weeks have been just unbelievable. Solomon's been off school, our eldest boy. He's been off school for 2 weeks. Most have off one, he's been off for two. And it's like rained the entire time. So we've been stuck in the house, just literally chasing the kids around and round. Circles for the last couple of weeks. That's been interesting, but it's nice to see the sun. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to continue our Romans series this morning. And before I do, let's just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us through his word. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence here, Holy Spirit. We thank you for a wonderful time of worship in you, Jesus. We thank you that you are here, working in this place, Lord, touching every single heart. We ask that you would continue to do that, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. As we, you know, as we share this passage together, me and Conrad, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord. You are the wonderful teacher, Holy Spirit. Pray that you would speak to us, Lord. You would grow us in knowledge and revelation of you, Father, what you've done for us and who you are. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So just a little quick recap from last week. Basically, last week, my dad was talking about, you know, the last bit of Romans 7. He's talking about this struggle between the flesh and the spirit, and you know, Paul's kind of saying, you know, what a wretched man I am, the good stuff I want to do, I can't do it because there's this other law at work in me, this law of the flesh, and the sinful body's at work, waging war against the spirit within me, and you know, I want to do good, but I can't do it, and you know, and he's like sort of in this sort of illustrating this sort of battle that we all can find ourselves in as Christians from time to time. But then what he says right at the very end is that who can rescue me from this body? Who? It doesn't end there. It doesn't end with, you know, what a wretched man I am. This life's such a struggle. I'm such a wretched man. Good night. And then walks off, you know. Thanks, you know. I'm so glad he didn't end it there. He's obviously in the middle of saying something. And then it comes on to the next bit, which is all about life through the Spirit, actually. And about receiving the Holy Spirit, living with the Holy Spirit, how we can be more filled with the Holy Spirit, how we can be more surrendered, how we can die more to those sinful desires in the sinful body, and surrender that more so that we can be more filled with the Holy Spirit to allow him to have more control in our lives, to live more victoriously as a Christian. Up until this point, the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned really in this context of, you know, the Holy Spirit really comes into play in Romans chapter 8. Paul mentions him a couple of times prior to this, but in Romans 8 now he properly starts to talk about the Holy Spirit and what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit and how we can live victoriously. So let's just read this passage before we get going. So it's Romans 8 verse 1 to 14 that we're looking at this morning, and Conrad's going to come in the middle and do a bit in the middle. So here we go. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires, on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Amen. So basically, he's talking about, in the previous chapter, how there can be this sort of battle going on between the Spirit and the flesh. And, we often find that as Christians, don't we? If you're a believer, you will know that, there's a battle going on, and we often feel like this. We often feel like, we want to do good, and we want to please God. We want to live a good Christian life. That's evidence that we're saved, that the Holy Spirit lives in us, the Spirit of Jesus lives in us. We want to do good. We're convicted of our sin when we make mistakes. We feel a bit bad about it. And that sort of the conviction, not condemnation, the conviction of that is a good thing. It's evidence that we're saved and we want to do good. But then sometimes we struggle to do good. And especially, sometimes we go through seasons, perhaps shortly after we're saved and we've just come from the world, perhaps. We have lots of habitual sins and habits from our old life. We can feel like it's a bit of a circle and we keep going around and we keep failing and making mistakes and coming back to God and keep failing and coming back and keep failing. But actually, and we'll talk about in a minute how we can live a bit more victoriously through the Holy Spirit. But first of all, most importantly, despite how you feel, like Susan already shared in communion this morning, despite how you feel, despite that struggle, despite the battle of failing and making mistakes and falling into sin and coming back to God and falling into sin and struggling and repenting and struggling, and because you have the Spirit of God in you, if you've ever put your hand up or if you've ever accepted Jesus into your heart and you've said, in your heart, Lord, forgive me my sins. I invite you, Jesus, to come and make your home with me. Come and fill me. Come and forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died on the cross and rose for me, rose from the dead for me to give me everlasting life. If you believe that and you've said that kind of prayer and you're a Christian in that sense, then therefore there is now no condemnation because you're in Christ. And maybe you're not in Christ this morning. Some of you might not be. Some of you might not be a Christian. You might not know Jesus. Many of you might be. But ultimately, what matters is, ultimately, is that you and I, that we're in Christ, that we're a Christian, that we're saved, that we've put our faith in him, that we've accepted his death on the cross, we've asked for forgiveness, and that we know that when we die, we're going to heaven. That we're saved is the most important thing, that we're in Christ. One of the ways that they forest fires and sort of fires in great plains and stuff, one of the ways that they fight those fires, one of the few techniques that they use, is often they will create a controlled fire in a nearby area, nearby to where they're working, in a big circle or something like that, like a big massive fire. They'll make that happen and burn a big circle in the ground, and they'll carry on fighting the fire and doing whatever they need to do to stop the wildfire spreading across, the fields or the woods or whatever it may be. And the reason that they do this is because if the wind direction changes suddenly, which it often can do, wind can blow, can change the course of a fire at like 80 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, all of a sudden it can change direction, woof, and start to head one way at massive speed, speed that it can't be outrun, speed that you can't outdrive it. And if that happens, then there's nowhere for these, firefighter guys to go. There's nothing for them to do. There's no escape. They're going to die. The fire's coming to them. They can't outdrive it. They can't outrun it. However, if they've created this fire beforehand, nearby to where they're working, what they'll then do is they'll just get into the middle of that place where it's already been burned. It's very close to them, so they'll just run there. They'll get there. They'll stand right in the middle of it. There's nothing else for them to do. And they'll see the fire coming towards them at 100 miles an hour. Massive forest fire or fire in open plains. I mean, can you imagine what that must be like? The wind changes. Ugh. It's coming. Quick, get to there. Get to that point where we've burned it. And they just stand there because there's nothing else they can do. And the fire's coming towards them. Massive fire pushed along by the wind. and it's coming towards them, and then it'll get to that place where they've already started to burn it, and it'll just come. It's coming to them, and then it'll stop and go around. It'll burn around them and carry on. Because the fire can't burn where it's already burned. And it's exactly the same for you and me if we're in Christ. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, you need to step into Jesus Christ in the same way. Because the wrath of God can't burn where it's already been burned. And when God sent Jesus to the cross to die for our sins, when Jesus willingly went to the cross to become that sacrifice for our sins, although he was perfect in himself, although he never sinned, he was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, but he willingly stepped into that place and became sin. The Bible says he became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. So he became sin and let the wrath of God fall on him and was burned. So if you and I step into Jesus Christ and we ask him to forgive us of our sins, we just get it there, we get in there, we're saved. We're in him, we're absolutely saved. And the ark, Noah's ark, is the same picture of this. All that mattered is when that flood came was that they were in the ark. All that matters this morning is that you're in the ark, that you're in Jesus Christ. You know, so when the floods of God's judgment fall upon the earth, and one day for everybody, it's coming unless you're in Christ. If you're in the ark, Noah and his sons and his family were in that ark, and it, you know, it doesn't actually matter what they felt, what they were going through, or whatever. All that mattered is that they got in that ark. And all that matters for you and for me is that we get in to Jesus, that we're saved. It's exactly the same picture of the Passover, when they mark the doorposts of the house. The Israelites marked the doorposts of the house with the blood of the Lamb. And they got in the house, and they just had to get in there behind that door. And as long as they were in that house, as long as they were behind the blood, they were safe. Again, absolutely irrelevant what was going on in their life, how they felt, if they were struggling, if they were failing, if they were... All that mattered at the end of the day was that they were in that house and that the blood was on the doorpost of their heart. So all that matters, first and foremost... I mean, Paul's constantly preaching the gospel through the book of Romans. He's just unfolding the gospel more and more through different pictures and illustrations and sharing with the people what it means to be saved. And this is it. All that matters at the end of the day, that we're in Christ, that the blood of Jesus marks us so that we're safe, that we're saved, and that not only are we saved from God's wrath, that we become the righteousness of God that's spoken about elsewhere in this book. Jesus became the sin offering for us so that we can get in him and be safe and be saved. And then, once we're in him, if we're in him, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for you if you are in Jesus Christ. Like I say, no matter if you're struggling, however you feel, whatever's going on in your life, if you know Jesus and you've made that decision, there's no condemnation for you, and there's no condemnation for me, no matter how we feel and whatever we go through. And the devil's quick to jump on the back of us when we make mistakes. The devil's very quick to... When we fall and make a mistake and we feel terrible, the devil's quick to come and say, ah, see, you're rubbish. You're not a Christian. You shouldn't go to church this morning. Look at you. Who do you think you are? You've made a mistake again. That same mistake that you always make. You've made it again. Oh, you've never made that mistake before. You're definitely not a Christian. Whoa, naughty, naughty. You call yourself a Christian. You can't go to church. You can't go to that small group. How can you show yourself there? They're all holy people, but not you. No, 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 you're different. You're bad. No one knows the dark things that you do and that you think and da, 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 da. Yabba, 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 yabba. Shut up, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You know, because that's his tactic. That's what he does. And we're all laughing because we all hear the same voice from him when we make mistakes. But the Bible says, and we should stand on the word of God, therefore, there is now no condemnation. There is no condemnation that you're in Christ Jesus. So if you make mistakes, you know what? In one sense, don't worry about it. Keep going. Keep receiving, you know, the blood of Jesus that falls fresh over us naturally, automatically, every day. Just be aware of that. Acknowledge that. And just be receiving that, because it's happening anyway. And just know that you're safe, that you're clean, that God loves you. There's no condemnation at all, ever. I mean, it says now. One of my favorite words in this bit is that word now. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. I mean, right now, there's no condemnation. Last week, last year, yesterday, this morning, whenever it was that we made a mistake or sinned and we felt bad about it, then, it still said now, there was no condemnation. In the moment that you were making that mistake, because you're in Jesus, in that moment that you fell and made a little mistake, whatever, or a big mistake, there was then, in that moment, now, no condemnation for you because you're in Jesus Christ. The fire might come, the devil might be yapping away at you, but nothing can touch you because you're in Jesus Christ, saved by his precious blood and nothing else. If it were anything else, then we'd be able to earn it ourselves, wouldn't we? You'd be able to earn your salvation in some way if it were by any other means. But there's absolutely nothing you or I can do to earn our salvation. It is 100% a free gift from God. That is why there is just no condemnation. If you make a mistake tomorrow, this afternoon, next week, there will be now, no condemnation. There's no condemnation for past, present, and future sins because we're in Jesus and he sees the blood. You know, I used to have, over the years, I used to have like a bunch of, you know, I've had a bunch of different jobs over the years. And with different jobs, obviously, comes lots of different email addresses, doesn't it? In this techie world that we live in, lots of different email addresses through different roles and different jobs that I've had in the past, as some of you will have had the same. But then there was one point a few years ago where I thought to myself, I'm flipping sick of all these different email addresses. You know, I have to like check this email address to, you know, to receive emails from that, you know, those group of friends from my, you know, that life or that job. I have to check this email address for like, you know, church emails, that email address for like personal emails, that email address for, you know, whatever, this email address from that job, and you know, you're trying to like juggle it all. And I was like, one day I thought, man, I need to get my life in order. So I thought, I'm just gonna do something super techie and clever, and I'm gonna create one email address and see if I can make them all come to that one email address. I was like, full of wisdom, you know. And I went round, this is before I had kids, right, when I had some time in my life to do stuff like this. So I went through all these different email addresses and I created a new one. A new one, this was going to be my email address for everything. No longer was I going to have to faff around trying to find different things and waste time. So I created one new email address. And then there was this, I couldn't do it now for the life of me. I don't really know how to do anything much techie these days. But a few years ago, I was like still keeping up with it. But I created this email address and I was looking at how I could make all these emails come into this one, you know. And then I don't know what it's like now. It might be different, but I remember there was something where there was a couple of check boxes of things you could tick and do to make this happen. And there was one checkbox in particular which said something along the lines of, would you like to pull all emails in from this email address to your new email address and automatically then delete them from that old account? I thought, that sounds fantastic. So yes, please, yes, I'll check that box. And then I typed in all my old email addresses and ticked that box for each of those things. So that what would happen was, emails would come into all these different email addresses from all different kinds of past people and work and things. And then they would automatically get forwarded to this new email address, to my new one. And then at the same time, immediately get automatically deleted from those accounts. So I didn't even have to worry about them anymore. It was like awesome revelation, you know. So I checked this box and I was like, it was fantastic, you know. And then automatically they would just come to my new email address, they would come to my new email address and just be deleted from all those accounts instantly. But you know what, it's the same thing like us when we sin and fall as Christians and make mistakes, which we all do from time to time. All our sins and failures get automatically sent to the cross. I mean, it doesn't even stick. It gets forwarded to the cross immediately. It just goes there and it doesn't even stick to our account anymore. There is therefore now no condemnation. So brothers and sisters, if you feel heavy or guilty or full of shame or in any way, shape or form this morning, then be free in Jesus' name, because the blood of Jesus marks you, the blood of Jesus covers you, God loves you. No sin can stick to your account. God's paid for it all. And if you're a Christian, then you're safe and you're saved and there's no condemnation and God absolutely loves you. And if you're not, then you can make that decision. Like I said earlier, you can say a similar prayer, something along the lines of, you know what, Lord, I am a sinner. I do make mistakes. I'm actually not sure that I've ever become a Christian. I haven't actually accepted Jesus into my life. I haven't thanked him for dying on the cross for my sins and thanked him for rising from the dead and asked him into my heart. I haven't done that. You can do that this morning if you want to and experience this, what it means to be in Christ and to be free and to be set free and have no condemnation over you all. So that's the first and foremost thing of the gospel. And next it says, you know, the law of the spirit of life has set me free. We come on now to the bit where he's talking about, you know, living in the spirit. The law of the spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. And it's an awesome thing to be free, isn't it? There's, you know, there's a story of, many of you maybe know Reinhard Bonnke, the evangelist, who saw massive revival in Africa for many years. And one day, he was doing a crusade in the Congo, and his translator was driving him around, and he was chatting to people and things before he started the crusade. And his interpreter drove him to the outskirts of the town where there was a prison. And this prison was, it was just like a big fence with wire around it, with just one old smelly kind of hut in the middle, where there was just like, it was literally in the middle of the sort of desert, really, in the middle of nowhere. And it was, no one was looked after, they weren't cared for at all. And there was a particular group of prisoners that, you know, were bound and shackled in chains to the hands and feet. And they were welded on. These chains were like welded on to these guys. And these were people that were on death row. They were condemned to die because of whatever they'd done wrong. And often they hadn't done too much that wrong. It was a lot of corruption and things. But they were condemned to die and they were welded on. And they never ever got out of these shackles. There was no key, you know. They welded them on. They often had massive burns all over them from where they were welded to them, you know. And no one ever escaped this prison. This one was called Bukavu Prison. And the interpreter was sort of telling Reinhard, you know, there's a group of guys in here that I've been visiting and some of them have given their life to Jesus already. Would you like to go and meet them? And Reinhard was like, yeah, I want to come and meet my brothers in the Lord. So he gets out of the car, and as soon as he gets out of the car, he hears this singing and the jangling of chains. And he looks to his interpreter and he sort of says, what's that noise? And he says, those are your brothers. And they're worshipping, you know, come on, let's go and see them. So he takes them into this prison and he meets, you know, these guys, and there's about 30 of them all together, jangling the chains, and they're singing worship songs and they're worshipping the Lord and praising Jesus. And they're condemned to die, you know, but they're worshipping and they're singing and they're praising God. And he sees this one guy in particular who's like the sort of leader of the group, who's leading them in the worship, you know. He's a big smile on his face, he has one tooth missing. And as soon as he sees him, the Holy Spirit speaks to Ryan and says, tell that man he's going to be set free and become a preacher of the gospel. I mean, and no one escapes this prison. There's a tree in this prison yard where once a month a hangman comes and hangs them on that, and hangs them one by one from that tree, the old-fashioned way, literally pulls them up and hangs them until they're dead. And the only way those shackles come off, I mean, it's a bit graphic, but it's a true story. The only way they get those shackles off is once they've died, he lets them down and axes off their hands and the feet, takes the shackles off them, they get cut open with the special blowtorch thing and welded onto the next prisoner. That's the only way these people ever got out, ever got released, by being killed on this tree, by being hung. So obviously, Reinhard pauses for a minute before he gives this word, but he says he feels the Holy Spirit speaking to him strongly. Tell that man he's going to be set free and become a preacher of the gospel. So he sort of takes a breath and says to his interpreter, his name's Richard, this man, he says, tell Richard, the Holy Spirit says you're going to be set free and become a preacher of the gospel. And the interpreter pauses, looks at the tree, you know. Tell him it exactly as I said it, he says. So he tells this Richard, he says, you know, you're going to be set free and become a preacher of the gospel. And this guy then can't really receive it, you know, in his heart fully. He looks at the tree, begins to weep and says, three times I've waited in line to be hung by the hangman. Three times I've been waited in line, and three times the hangman's got tired before he's even got to me. He's physically got too tired of doing this. The last time I was there, I was the next one to be hung, and the hangman looked at me and just threw his arms in the air and went home because he was just too exhausted. And he sort of said, you know, God's preserving your life, you know. And anyway, that was it, really. He kind of, that was the last they heard of him. He kind of, you know, prayed for them, and he went and he did his crusade and carried on preaching in crusades all over Africa. This was in 1989. He carried on preaching over crusades all over Africa for the next 12 years. 12 years later, he's back over in that area doing a crusade, preaching the gospel. Thousands of people get saved in the revival that's going on over there. Absolutely phenomenal. And after his last preach there, this interpreter, the same interpreter, says to him, there's someone I'd like you to meet backstage. Would you come and meet him? This is 12 years later. He's thought nothing of it. He's just done another crusade. He's shattered. He's sweating. He's exhausted. He says, come on then, you know, let's meet this guy, you know. And he stands there and he sees this guy dressed in a maroon suit. And he knows that he recognizes him from somewhere. And he smiles and he has a golden tooth at the front. And he knows he recognizes him somewhere, but he can't remember. And this guy, obviously, it's Richard! It's Richard! He runs over to Reinhard, gives him a massive hug, gives him a cuddle. He's weeping, you know, and he says, who are you, you know? And through his tears, this Richard looks up to him and he says one word, Bukavu. And as soon as he says that one word, Bukavu, Reinhard knows, Richard. And he gives him a massive hug. And he says, as you give him a massive hug, in that very moment, he saw the picture of the real shackles that are removed from all sinners when they come to Christ. The shackles of sin and bondage are removed from each of us when we put our life in Jesus Christ. And this is the spiritual reality of what's happened for us when we give our life to him. We've been set free from sin and death. We've been set free. We were under condemnation. We were condemned to death and hell. But when we give our life to Jesus, he sets us free. He cuts the shackles off. He sets us free and releases us so that we're free then. So now we're released and now we're free. Now we're actually free to be able to follow Jesus. And we're actually free to be able to make good choices. We're free to be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're free to be able to die to the flesh and surrender our sinful bodies. We're free to be able to do that and to live right in a way where previously we were never actually able to do that before. It was impossible to do that before. We were bound, condemned, shackled to sin and bondage before this. But then Jesus set us free and we have an option now. There's a little battle going on now. Before there was never a battle. Before it was just failure, failure, failure. Now there's another option. there's an option to fight. There's an option to win. There's an option to die to our sinful bodies and be filled more with the Holy Spirit to be used by God. You know, there's a poem that says, when I remember it, to run and work the law commands, but gives me neither feet nor hands. But better news the gospel brings, it bids me fly and gives me wings. And you know, when we're set free and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the righteous requirements of the law are fully met in us. And you know, these Old Testament prophecies are fulfilled. A couple in particular from Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and I'll just read them quickly. First one is from Ezekiel 36. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So in a way, beforehand, the old covenant, we weren't able to. But now in the new covenant, it's in our heart. He moves us to be able to do it. And another one is in Jeremiah 31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. So now in this new covenant, in this law of the Spirit, he writes it on our hearts, he puts it in our minds and moves us to be able to follow his laws and gives us a new nature, and we're able to do it. We're able then to live by the Spirit and not to be just controlled by the sinful nature and the flesh. Just this one quick illustration with a glove. It's not because my hand's cold. And you know, the reality is, you know, when before we were saved, and even sometimes after we're saved, we have this sinful body. You know, our bodies are sinful, you know, and they like to do naughty things. And this glove represents just us, just our life and our, you know, our soul. And you know, we're filled with ourself. This left hand is like, you know, the body, the sinful nature, our flesh. We're filled with ourself. We're filled with the sins of and the sinful nature of our body. This nothing good that lives in us, you know, is controlling our life. You know, we're selfish, we're proud, we're arrogant, we're, you know, we just care about ourselves. All of our good motives are like filthy rags. We can't do anything. We're bound, you know. And then Jesus comes along and sets us free. Sets us free for a new option. Now we have a new option. We have the option of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live with us when we accept Jesus into our life. We will come, the Bible says, and make our home with him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They come into our home. We open the front door of our heart. Boom, the Godhead comes in. We're saved. We have the Holy Spirit. And but there's more doors in our house, isn't there, than just the front door. And often we keep them filled. Even as believers, we keep them filled sometimes with just ourself. We like to do things our way. And this is what Carl was talking about the other week when he was talking about dying. He's talking about surrendering our life, surrendering more of our life to the Holy Spirit. So there's less of a struggle. So there's less of a struggle because when we start to surrender things, surrender areas of our life to him and give up, you know, our sins and die to the flesh, the Holy Spirit then comes in and fills us, every room in that house. And we can sometimes have certain rooms, certain parts of our life that are open to the Holy Spirit, certain areas of our life that are, you know, that we've surrendered to him. Maybe we've surrendered our job to him. Maybe we've surrendered our finance to him. Maybe we've surrendered our family to him, or whatever different part of our life that there is, and there's many. You know, maybe we've surrendered some of these things and the Holy Spirit's come in and filled us in those areas in new ways. But there's more. There's often more areas that God wants us to die to surrender to. And it's not so that we can die. It's this terrible life. It's because when we do die to these things and empty ourselves of these things, the Holy Spirit comes in automatically and fills the empty space. You know, we don't have to give the Holy Spirit permission to do anything because he's God and he does what he likes. But he's actually, he's not controlling. Have you noticed? And he gives us free will. Have you noticed that he gives us free will? And he doesn't automatically come and control us. We're not actually robots, are we? And he gives us the option and the ability to die to these things so that he can fill us with more of his presence and give us more and more power, more and more resurrection life, more and more victory in the Holy Spirit. Amen, Conrad.
Morning, church. So I'm reading the middle section of that, Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I mean, Andy's been speaking about this morning. Susan was speaking about it. Sally Ann was sharing about it. We can't do these things in ourselves. It's all about God, and it's trusting him. Paul says in Galatians, and it's the similar section, he's talking about it, and it sort of expands that in a little more detail. So I'm going to read that now. Galatians 5, 16 to 25, if you want to get that and read along. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentiousness, jealousness, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, by no means is that an exhaustive list of the flesh, but equally, that's not what I want to talk about this morning. I don't want to stand here and tell you what the terrible things that there are in the flesh. The good thing is this, is the next section. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. These are the fruits of the Spirit that we get as a byproduct of being born again. Andrew was talking about a few weeks ago, we get a new spirit when we're born again. If you're not born again, these things, like Andy was saying, these things aren't available to us. But if you are born again, these are the things that are available to you. In Genesis, God created the trees, and he said they produced after their own kind. Everything produced after its own kind. And so the Spirit of God that he's put inside you produces after its own kind. Because God is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. He's kind, he's good, he's faithful. All of these things are God, and that is in you now. And so verse 6 in Romans, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but spiritually minded is life and peace." So I'll stick with that one as one of the examples. But Jesus said, "I've come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly," John 10:10. "You will keep him in perfect mind, peace whose mind is stayed on you." It's like Andy was just saying, it's a choice. Before we had no choice. There was no option but to do these things, but to fall, but to sin, but to live in those things. Now, if you are a new creation, old things have passed away, the new has come. You are now able to live in this. So if you're coming to a situation, I'll use that as an example. So are you, who has peace this morning? Small. So there we go. For those who haven't, if you don't know Jesus, afraid to say, you're being carnal. It's carnal thinking. Because the reality is, we have peace in our spirit. We might not know it, we might not feel it, we might not think it, but the truth is, according to the Bible, that you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those attributes of God are now in you. Whether you think it or feel it, they're in you. And like that tree can't help but produce those things. And Andy was saying, Romans 8, there is no condemnation. Condemnation is from the enemy, and that pushes us away from God. Like some of you probably know, the Martin Hotel burnt down last weekend. And at the moment, it's still smouldering. But that it has no choice but to be condemned. Condemned meaning it is not fit for purpose. It was a hotel, even for a meeting. There's no roof, there's no ceiling, the walls are unstable. It has to come down. It is going to be condemned. But the Holy Spirit comes and is convicting. It might be convicting you this morning, and that is pushing us to God. It's not pushing us away, which is the enemy trying to take us away from God. Conviction is taking us to God. And if the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead also gives life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Again, all of these verses are just showing us that we have a choice now. Whatever situation we're in, we can choose to walk in the truth of what the Bible says. So often we can think, oh, they're telling us to read the Bible. Oh, I need to do these things. The whole reason we read the Bible is because the world doesn't say we have peace. The world teaches us that we react to situations the way we always have. I was trying to think of a good example. And it'd be like if Larry gave me a computer. And he took all of his files off it, gave it to me, and it's now my computer, brand new. Now, apart from the fact that I'm a Mac user and probably struggle with the Windows machine, that aside, I start using it. It's mine. I can put my files in, all of my work, all of my things, and I turn it on, and I log in, and it makes no sense because it's in Estonian. Because of the way it was set up, it's in Estonian. Now, without a word of knowledge or an instant thing, I don't know Estonian, but I'm not going to understand what it's saying. And that's the way that we are with things of the Spirit. That's why it's important to read the Bible, because the Bible shows us who our new identity is in Christ. As we read these things in James, it shows us as a mirror. The law was given so we could look and go, I can't make that. I can't make that standard. God, help me. And he's like, yes, there we go. Now I can. And he recreates you. And so when you read what Jesus is doing, he was going around laying his hands on the sick and they were recovering. That's supposed to be the Holy Spirit can then say, that's what I want you to do. That's the way, walk ye in it. We often just think about carnal just comes from meat, flesh. It's the things that we feel, the senses, the things that we touch, the things that we interact with. It takes something greater than that to walk after the Spirit. As I was thinking about it, I was reminded of the verse in Proverbs where it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I call heaven and earth as witness to you today. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. God said it again in Genesis, when you've got the two trees in front of you, you can eat of all the trees, but not this one. The tree of life, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Choose life. Choose this one. This is the good one. And again, every single day we have that choice. Whatever your situation is, you can choose love, because that is in your spirit. You can choose to have joy. You can choose long-suffering. You can choose to be faithful. All of those things. It's not us trying to do these things in our own strength. It's not trying to self-help or betterment of, oh, I can, if I think it really hard, then I'll have joy. No, the reality is, in your spirit, you have joy right now. If you don't feel it, that doesn't change it, but it is there. And so I'll use another example. Are you sick this morning? Because the Bible says in 1 Peter, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, he was hung on a cross 2,000 years ago, so that means that 2,000 years ago, our healing was purchased. And Jesus is now alive and well. And so that means that healing, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, is in your body right now. And so whatever sickness, whatever illness you might be facing, the truth is that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. That's the Old Testament version of that. Some people might not be there with healing. What about Ricky was sharing about finances. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. God is good and he loves you. If you take nothing else away from what we're sharing today, God loves you. And if you're in Christ, you are a new creation, and there is more in that than you know. And so all I can say is I encourage you to read the Bible, get to know Jesus, and get to know who you are after the Spirit, and so we then don't choose to walk after the flesh.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Awesome. So why don't we stand to our feet, and we'll have some ministry time in a minute. And you know what? Maybe you're in this room this morning and you don't know Jesus. You're not sure that you're saved. You're not actually sure that you are in that place where you're in Christ, where you're saved from your sins and you're forgiven. And what if that's you that's this morning, you can say this prayer, you can say it in your heart, you can say it out loud. But why don't we all just say this prayer together, just to encourage those of you that, you know, need to say this prayer. But we can all say it together as well to encourage them. So after me, why don't we just say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross to take away my sins. I thank you that you love me, Lord. And Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on that cross and rose from the dead for me. And by the power of your Holy Spirit right now, would you come into my life? Help me to follow you all the days of my life. And I thank you, Father, for what you've done in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And maybe you're a Christian this morning that you know. You know you're saved and you know there's no condemnation. But actually, you're just in a struggle. You're tired of the struggle. You're tired of battling. You're tired of going round in circles. You're tired of, you know, the war. And you feel like you need to surrender more of your heart to the Holy Spirit. You feel like you need to, like that glove, let some of the sinful flesh die and surrender more. Whatever it may be, an area of your life, it really has to die. It really has to be surrendered. That finger really has to come out of that glove. so that the Holy Spirit really has space to get in there and work and move in that area of your life. And the more we die, the more we have life. This is what Jesus said when he said, you know, those who try to find their life will lose it. But those who lose their life for my sake and the gospel will truly find it, because the Holy Spirit will live and work in us and give us everlasting life and joy and peace and healing to our mortal bodies and a new resurrection body at the end of the day. So if this is you, why don't you come forward now? If you want some prayer for some of these things, if you want to surrender more of your heart to Jesus, some certain areas of your life more to the Holy Spirit, to be filled more, to open up some more doors of your house to the Holy Spirit, then why don't you just come forward as well right now where we are? We'll have some prayer for each other, and maybe we can have someone playing on the keyboard or something a little bit. And just let's close our eyes and just focus on the Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here this morning working in us, Lord. And we just want to be filled with you, Holy Spirit, more and more, every part of our life, every area of our house, every dark room, every little closet, every attic and basement in our heart and our mind. We just want to open, Lord, all those doors and surrender, Lord, afresh every part of our life to you. Because actually, this is the only way that we can have a real victorious life in the Spirit, is by actually being more filled with your Holy Spirit. And we want to let you do that, Lord. We want to let you in, Holy Spirit, in new ways into our life. And as the Holy Spirit just speaks to you about some of these things, then you just come forward as well. We all have these struggles, you know, throughout our life. Different things come in and different temptations come in that we can, you know, open the doors to and maybe we shouldn't have. And it's no problem, you know, there's no condemnation. It happens to all of us in different parts of our life. And if you just want to be more filled with the Holy Spirit, if you want more joy, then you come forward. If you want more love for yourself, for others, then you come forward. If you've had negative thoughts of yourself, you come forward, receive more love for yourself, receive more of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Accept yourself, even your faults and failures. Accept yourself because Jesus created you, he loves you. You might struggle, but he's never going to give up on you. Well done for getting here this morning. You're living a victorious Christian life, just being here this morning despite feelings. If you're depressed and you just feel heavy and down and like you have no hope, like all faith's gone, then you come forward as well. Receive that joy and that strength from the Lord. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you feel weak, like the world's just steamrolling over you and the things of this world are just steamrolling over your mind, come forward and receive joy and strength in the Holy Spirit. Come and receive more peace in your life if you're stressed and feel heavy and full of pressure and stress and you just want Jesus to take that heavy yoke and you want to receive his light, easy yoke and experience lying down in green pastures with him, being refreshed by him, by streams of living waters, you come forward and receive that peace as well. If you need any of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, patience, if you're impatient, and you're struggling, like Susan said prophetically this morning, struggling to find peace in the midst of the storm, struggling to find Jesus in the eye of that storm, come forward and receive the peace of God. Receive that patience from him to walk with him through anything. Kindness and goodness, if you just feel maybe selfish or lack of love for people or not very kind, and not very good in yourself, if you want to be more filled with love for others and more outward focused. We all struggle with all of these things from time to time. Come and receive the love of God this morning. Come and receive a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit and surrender that selfishness to God and let him fill you with his love for yourself and others. Faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. You come forward if you want some of these things as well. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just pray for everybody here this morning that wants a touch from you, Holy Spirit, for every open heart, for whatever people are going on is going on in people's lives, Lord, whether they've come for anything to the front specifically or whether there's something else that they just need ministry for, Lord. Would you minister them, Holy Spirit, right now? Lift off all burdens, Father, in your precious love by the blood of your Son and the power of your Holy Spirit. Lift off all sickness, Lord. Bring life to our mortal bodies, Lord. We thank you that we're sons and daughters of God because we're in you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you love us. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.